What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Welcome to week one, everybody. But we still got some preseason, well, you know, draft prep to talk about here. We'll give you some fantasy superlatives, MVP, rookie of the year, comeback player of the year, biggest bust. We'll make our predictions for the 2021 fantasy football season. If you're still drafting, we have news for you. And if you're not drafting, we have news for you that will be relevant. And looking forward to getting this season started already. I'm Adam Azer with Chris Towers, with Dave Richard, and with Jamie Eisenberg. Fellas, I am going to ask you about some of your, you know, preseason risers, in the sense that you've done most of your drafts now, and I don't know if you found yourself kind of taking the same players, like maybe it was Marquez Callaway or Damian Harris or something like that. I'll ask you about that. But first, I want to start with your fantasy MVP. I'm going to go alphabetical here. I'm going to go with Chris. Alphabetical order. Chris, you can start us off. Who's your fantasy MVP with your 2021 preseason prediction here?
I'm going to go with Joe Mixon. Certainly, if Joe Mixon has a great season, he's going to be the fantasy MVP for me because of how many leagues I have him in. So that's going to be my pick. I think this is finally the year we see that big Joe Mixon season people have been waiting for.
Okay, Joe Mixon. I like it. Dave, you are next in the alphabet.
The fantasy MVP will be TJ Hockenson.
Oh.
Tight end of the Detroit Lions, the lowly Lions. This will be their Super Bowl, is TJ Hockenson having a big year. It's not going to help them win games. Well, maybe it'll help them win a couple. But I think fantasy owners that take him are going to be real happy with the results at the end of the year.
Jamie, you are next.
I'm going to go with the same guy I gave for the fantasy footballer, so I'll be consistent on the two best podcasts in the world. Miles Gaskin is the fantasy MVP. So I think Gaskin is going to have a monster season. I'm glad that Brian Flores gave us that scare in week one, just because drove down the price a little bit with Malcolm Brown, week one of the preseason, with Malcolm Brown getting all that work. So Miles Gaskin's going to have a monster campaign building off what he did last year.
Who is the player that benefited the most from the price being lowered due to injury or something like that? If it's not Gaskin, you know.
Might be Dak Prescott.
It's going to be Ja'Marr Chase.
I think there's going to be a handful of receivers because we saw, if they're healthy and they're right, we saw Mike Williams fall, we saw Curtis Samuel fall, we saw Marquise Brown fall, we saw all these guys basically become free on draft day. So yeah, all those guys, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. DeAndre Swift on the higher end?
Potentially.
Yeah, we'll
see. If you still believe in him, yeah, potentially.
Does anyone still believe in him?
Yeah, I do.
What's that? Okay,
so no.
took me a second to get that, but yes, Heath still does believe in him. I'll get my my assortment of what do you want? Heath's side, 1, 2, 3, 4, or compilation?
What's the one that sounds like he's really excited? If you know what I mean.
Let's Whoa. Try this one. How's that?
That's the one.
That's a good one. It's a good one.
Ew, I just did a face. Sorry, everybody. All right, good stuff. So those are our fantasy MVPs. I asked you on Twitter who your fantasy MVP. All the superlatives are given today, so I'll read some of those a little bit later. Ben Schrager, his flight was delayed. He usually tells me what to promote, but he didn't tell me what to promote today. So if you guys, I'm going to let you all promote one thing. Chris, promote your newsletter.
Fantasy Football Today newsletter. Subscribe, cbssports.com/newsletters. It's going to be in your inbox. I don't know.
Having a little
every
bit
morning, of, so make sure you subscribe.
Chris, we are having a little bit of trouble with your internet connection. I don't know.
You can find it.
Just type in
perfect timing.
cbssports.com.letter and you'll be able to find it. If you, I don't know, if you're on Wi-Fi, maybe you could switch over there. Jamie, promote HQ.
We are live Labor Day, Monday, CBS Sports HQ. But we're there every day at noon to help you dominate your fantasy leagues. And starting Sunday, a week from today, or I guess it'll be 6 days from today when you're hearing this. But Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern, is the best pregame fantasy show and probably the best pregame gambling show and probably the best pregame anything show that you'll find. 10 a.m. Eastern, CBS Sports HQ.
Are you better than Inside the NBA?
Pregame NFL show. Okay. But yes, we are better
than. I mean, we can name all the players.
NBA. Thanks, Adam, for supporting your teammates.
You can name all the players. That's good.
Yeah, we can correctly identify which players all the guys play for, so... We got that going on
that
for
is,
us.
That is a bonus.
And Pete Prisco is probably just as entertaining as Charles Barkley, just not as well known.
Pete Prisco is up there. He is very funny. Dave.
He's making his return to HQ for FFT on Wednesday when he challenges Heath Cummings for Name That Player.
Does Heath ever win that?
Does Heath ever win that?
Heath always wins?
Yeah, thanks
oh
for watching.
Gosh.
Wait, no, I
Adam,
watched it during the telethon.
Adam, no. Oh no, Adam.
Oh no, it was Price is Right. It was Price is Right that I was watching that Dave won.
Yeah, Heath got screwed out of ADP Price is Right.
Yeah, sorry. All right, Dave.
Promote
your trade chart.
The preseason trade chart, I don't know if it's out yet, but it will be soon. It will help you in case you did your draft and you go, oh crap, my team sucks. It'll help you make deals to improve your team and make it better. I'd also like to promote my mother. Sarah Lynn Richard, fantastic mystery author. You can go to palmcirclepress.com, order your own copy of A Murder of Principle. What happens when a new Maverick principal gets murdered in their new school? You're going to find out with A Murder of Principle. Only available at palmcirclepress.com and also on a site called Amazon.
Okay, great. Well, now, let's go to some football news here. Jamison Crowder tested positive for COVID. Jamie, what's the fantasy impact here?
None for week one and probably none for a lot of fantasy drafts. I mean, hopefully he's okay, obviously, but I don't think anybody's really excited about Jamison Crowder and may open a few more targets for, you know, Elijah Moore and Corey Davis, but maybe Denzel Mims as well, Tyler Croft, you know, who knows, but he's got still a lot to prove before fantasy managers are interested in him.
Davis and Elijah Moore are good DFS plays this week. Zach Wilson might be a good DFS play too.
I had trouble not putting...
They've got some weaknesses in there. Their front is pretty good.
I had trouble not putting Robbie Anderson.
They'll be really popular in DFS.
I had trouble not putting Robbie Anderson in my DFS lineup because he got the revenge factor there. The Jets are at Carolina.
Everybody's backing him with Darnold?
No.
Everybody's going to do that stack, and they're going to do a Jaguar stack. Those are two stacks that are going to be really popular.
All right, Zach Martin is on the reserve COVID list. He's out for week one.
That's a big story.
Dallas is all-pro guard.
And Lyle Collins is banged up.
And yes, he practiced, though. He's looking like he's going to play. This is a Thursday night game at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's run defense, 2 years in a row, they've allowed the fewest fantasy points to running backs. When they had Vita Vea healthy last year, they gave up fewer than 3 yards per carry. The year before that, 3.05 yards per carry to running backs. So you're starting Zeke. Let's hope he's involved in the passing game. Let's hope he scores. But if he doesn't have a good game, I mean, they have done, like last year, Vita Vea faced Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, and those guys actually caught a lot of passes, but they didn't run well. So if Zeke doesn't do well, don't panic after week one.
Trade for him.
Sure. Noah Fant is expected to play at the Giants. And speaking of that game, Dan Duggan of The Athletic expects Saquon Barkley to play week one, but not to have a full workload.
Yay.
Hacksaw Dan Duggan. Oh.
Not looking as good for Evan Engram right now. He's got the calf injury. What do you make of this, Chris Towers? The Indianapolis coaches, according to The Athletic, want Nyheim Hines to have more touches this season. Chris, you there? Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm having some issues. Frozen Chris in his tracks.
Mm-hmm. It's really only happening when you're asking me to speak. It feels like there's something there.
I've been there, man. It's crazy.
If Chris was in the Incredibles, he'd be Frozone.
Ooh, I don't get that.
I feel like you could probably find a story about every player you want with their coaches saying they want more touches. Given what we know about Jonathan Taylor and the workload he's likely to have, I would be surprised if Nyheim Hines had more touches than he did last season.
Especially with the Schwarzenegger movie, he'd be in Batman and Robin as Mr. Freeze.
Hey, Jamie, chill out.
I think the Nyheim Hines story has a little to do with the receiving corps situation that they're dealing with.
Yeah.
You want to get as many potential pass catchers on the field as you possibly can. And look, Paris Campbell's got a big opportunity in front of him. They bring in Kiki QT off Houston's, after Houston cut him on the practice squad. So we'll see what his role eventually is. But I would not be surprised if we see Nyheim Hines maybe playing a little bit in the slot for them.
If you were going to now rank Giovanni Bernard, Nyheim Hines, James White, Jerick McKinnon, how would you rank them?
James White 1, Gio 2, Hines 3. You mean J.D. McKissick, not Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah. Right? Did I say J.D. McKinnon or Jerick McKinnon?
No, you said Jerick McKinnon. I think you're just making a mistake by suggesting that Jerick McKinnon should be on our roster.
No,
White,
J.D. McKissick.
Gio, McKissick, Hines still.
Okay. Flip it for me. I'll take Gio first. Gio, White, McKissick, Hines.
Yeah, there was some story that I don't know who wrote it that Mac Jones is just going to be fantastic for. I think it was a radio show. Somebody had a Patriots beat writer on. I think that's why I saw somebody tweet it that they were saying James White's going to just have a monster season with Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm. Could see it. New Orleans tight end Juwan Johnson is apparently eligible at both tight end and wide receiver. So keep that in mind.
That's on our site.
On CBS, yeah.
I cannot say for sure about other sites. And but we made him dual eligible.
And Jacksonville signed tight end Jacob Hollister. Does that matter to anybody?
Oh, yeah. No.
Okay. But Juwan.
You made Chris freeze in his tracks.
Juwan Johnson, should we be paying more attention to him? I feel like nobody ever drafts him or cares about Juwan Johnson.
I watched him play. He's average, maybe a little better than average. He would need a lot of targets. He'd need to be used like Jared Cook to be like useful in fantasy.
And it's also, look, Troutman's coming back. So yeah. We'll see what his role is going to be too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Chris, I'll start with you. Let's hope. Nope. Chris left. Okay. See if we can get him back. He's back.
I'll be your Chris.
No, he's back. Chris is back. Hey, Chris. Okay. I'll start with you on this. As you did your drafts, who were the players that really grew on you this preseason that you ended up drafting a lot and maybe surprised you?
I don't think I'm going to be alone in this one, but Jerry Jeudy is definitely one of those guys. Just ended up drafting him a lot more than I thought I would early on. Jalen Waddle.
I like Jalen Waddle too.
I wasn't 100% sure. Yeah. Wasn't 100% sure what his role was going to be, but with training camp, I think it's worth taking a flyer on him.
So I know you like Will Fuller, but if you were going to take a Dolphins wide receiver now, who would it be?
Are you asking me?
It would still be Fuller first, but I like the upside of.
Okay, I think we might have to.
I feel like he's pulling Mad Libs.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know.
It's like unbelievable.
My favorite Dolphins receiver is. As I stop. But my least favorite Dolphins receiver is.
Noun. Proper noun.
Right, right. Chris is providing Mad Libs for us.
Dave, how about you? Any players that are on a lot of your teams that grew on you this preseason?
I was a really big fan of. And I also really started to not like. Okay, I'm done. Look, Jacoby Myers was somebody who I liked and thought he was good as a late round pick, and then I just watched him play and I saw how Mac Jones played, and I got really, really pumped about him. And now, like, I've got him ranked as a top 85 player in PPR. Marquez Callaway, another guy that really stood out, really did grow on me, and I actually now legitimately believe that he's going to be a factor all year long in New Orleans offense. And I think I like Tyson Williams. I think I like the skill set. I think he's going to be able to contribute for Baltimore. And there would be a really big chance for him if Gus Edwards suddenly became less efficient or missed playing time.
How about you, Jamie?
Players I drafted a lot of. I actually went through all 20 in my league so far. And I did this because we're going to talk about this on HQ, the guys that we've drafted the most, myself, Dave, and Heath. So I give you Heath if you like as well. I was surprised that in the 20 leagues so far, the player I took the most was Myers. I took him in 7 leagues so far. Deontay Johnson was next with 6. I was actually surprised how many times I took Kyler Murray. 5 times that I've drafted Kyler Murray. So, you know, for usually, you know, waiting on quarterback, I just felt the value for him was obviously good. Of the 20 leagues so far, 10 of them I have either Kelsey, Waller, or Andrews. So getting a tight end makes me feel a lot better. I took Michael Thomas in 5 of those leagues. 6 if you include one of the dynasty leagues. And then the running backs that I've taken the most of, Damian Harris, 5 of them. Miles Gaskin, 5 of them. Both Packers running backs, not necessarily in the same league, 4 times of A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. And Antonio Gibson, 4 times. I've drafted him as well. So it was fun going through and looking at, you know, the kind of the guys I've taken the most of. And I think I mentioned this to Heath at some point. I don't know if it was on the air or not. But I have really mostly drafted back half of the first round in almost every draft, which has been a little weird. So I have no exposure to Dalvin Cook or Alvin Kamara. I only have one league with McCaffrey because it's a dynasty league. So I have none of the top 3 guys. I've picked 4th or lower in every draft. So that's I have Henry wild. In one league, Zeke in one league. And again, this is 20 plus leagues. I still have 4 to go. I don't have the draft order yet in 2 of them. So maybe I'll get lucky and get, you know, somebody in the top half, but have not drafted Dalvin Cook or Kamara in any leagues that I'm playing out.
That is really wild. I think I've done 10 drafts, and I've got 1 McCaffrey, I've got 3 Dalvin Cook, I've got 1 Kamara. That's half my leagues I had a top 3 pick.
Yeah.
And that's lucky.
And it's funny because like I like Edwards-Helaire, and I went through and I don't have any leagues with him in it. I did a lot of mocks with him in it, but I don't have any. Like I was looking at how many of the top 15 running backs that I have. And I don't have any with Edwards-Helaire or those other 2 guys. Every other league, I have at least 1 of the other guys. And the receivers that I don't have at the top, I don't have any Ridley, and I don't have any DK Metcalf, which makes me mad that I don't have those 2 guys.
I'm not sure I have any Metcalf either, and he's one of my favorite players, and that does bum me out a little bit. I was surprised that I have very few of the top 5 quarterbacks. I got a lot of Brady and a lot of Jalen Hurts.
I have a lot of, besides Kyler, it's Tannehill is my second guy that I have a lot of.
Just so everybody knows, Heath and I took Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson with our first 2 picks in the Superflex League, in the 10-team Superflex League. So we're pretty
pumped
about
that.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, it was fun. Like, you know, we're like, let's have some fun with it here. We had the 7th pick out of 10.
How did the rest of that team turn out?
I can look it up for you. Chris.
You guys got Mixon. I know he was happy about that.
Yeah, we got Mark Andrews. We got Mixon. I don't love our wide receivers. It's a solid team, I guess. But
Heath's 5 guys that he said he's drafted the most: Patrick Mahomes, okay, Joe Mixon, DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams, and Tyler Lockett. I found it interesting that he's taking both Lions running backs.
Yeah,
he's got both of them as breakouts.
Did anybody find themselves deviating from your rankings? And I'll give you an example. You know, look, you could criticize me for this if you want. I'm supposed to be kind of a fantasy host of the list or whatever, but I took Russell Wilson over Dak Prescott. I would always tell you to take Dak over Wilson, but I just...
But he does that, though.
I love Russell Wilson.
No, he doesn't. I'm sorry.
He's just one of my favorite players, and I wanted to take him. But one that I really, if I did rankings, I think I would probably change, and maybe this is nuts, but I took Marquez Callaway over Brandon Cooks, and I was looking at them. I'm like, you know what? Like, let's just go for it. I've got this feeling. Dave's got me juiced
I've
up.
I've got big Callaway vibes.
There's a limited upside there with Cooks. There's a limited upside season long for Callaway for sure. But if he's got big upside for 6 games, I'll take that. Maybe it's only 5 games they have to buy. But like Chris, did you find
it could be good long term? You never know.
He could. Did you find yourself, Chris, doing any of that, deviating from your rankings, and going, maybe I have to reconsider here?
Yeah, there are definitely things that I rank based on like projections, especially if I'm going off of that, where that's just I'm playing with you guys.
Oh, that was good.
I fell for it.
So like I have Melvin Gordon ranked projected slightly higher than Javonte Williams. Obviously, I'm much more likely to take Javonte Williams. He's actually someone. Javonte is another guy that as things went on, I started drafting more and more of him. And so, yeah, and also we play in so many leagues that like you're not always going to draft exactly by the same order every time, because sometimes you just realize I don't have DK Metcalf in a league yet. I don't have Kyle. There are certainly times when I've reached for Kyle Pitts because I view him like I viewed Vladimir Guerrero Jr. coming into the baseball season, where like the most likely outcome is he probably isn't a great value, but if he hits, he's going to be a massive, massive part of winning fantasy championships. And totally, so yep. If I'm playing 10 leagues, I want him in one or two at least.
Okay. You guys want to hear the super flex team? Here we go.
Okay.
Got to come up with a team name, new team name, because it's still Run for Miles for Miles Sanders last year. Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. It's 10 team half PPR. Joe Mixon, Chase Edmonds, AJ Brown, Amari Cooper, Mark Andrews, and our flexes are Juju Smith-Schuster and Ja'Marr Chase. We also have Daniel Jones. We have Daniel Jones. That's huge. We have Jalen Waddle, Michael Carter, Ronald Jones, and most importantly, Gallman. Okay, last segment here before we get into the superlatives. Jamie, I'm a little pissed at you because you did something that I should have been doing, and I just everybody should be doing this, but you've been the king of it. You've made a lot of transactions because of IR spots. Mm-hmm. You picked up players that aren't on IR because you're going to move players you drafted into IR, or you've picked up players that are on IR because why not? So tell me what you've been doing. So everybody pay attention and do this tonight.
I went through, and obviously our leagues, I think, are a little bit deeper than most, but I went through and the three players that I look for in every league were Jeff Wilson, Tariq Cohen, and Rashad Bateman, where he was available. He was the least available of that trio, but the other two guys were readily available, and I would probably do it with T.Y. Hilton if he was available too, but I don't think that's going to happen as of now because he was drafted in so many leagues. But in any event, any of these players that are on short-term IR, see what happens. See what the next few weeks hold for them. I mean, Tariq Cohen and PPR still be in that same conversation as you asked, you know, James White and Giovanni Bernard and those guys, for sure. Jeff Wilson, by the time he's back, who knows what the 49ers backfield looks like, and he helped a lot of people win fantasy championships last year. And then, you know, Bateman is still going to be a big part of that Ravens passing attack when he's healthy. So I would do it in deeper leagues. You know, if I really was looking at it, Darrington Evans now, you know, what happens if Derrick Henry gets hurt in the first 3 weeks and Evans comes back from his knee situation? He's on short-term IR, and he's the lead guy for the Titans. You know, there's so many guys out there that are on this, not so many guys, but there's enough guys on there that are in this situation that if you have IR spots, take advantage of it. You're not cheating. You know, these guys are legitimately hurt. They're legitimately guys you could stash. Dave, I have one question for you because it's in one of the leagues you commissioned, our salary cap league. You guys on the PUP can't be placed in IR spots?
I don't know. Is that a setting that I can make? It should be fair. It should be fair that PUP guys can go. Yeah.
It should be open to all of them. I can't stash Tariq Cohen.
I had that issue in one of my leagues.
It might have been the salary cap draft. So, yeah, I'll fix that for you.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you could ask
on the air, but it just since it came up.
Yeah, no, I think the way that setting works.
Every commissioner should look at something like that. I totally love what you're doing, Jamie. I've done it in a bunch of my leagues as well.
What were you saying, Chris?
No, I think the way that setting works, because I had this issue in one of my leagues in a CBS league, is like if you have it checked, only players on IR can go in injured spots, then it PUP and NFI players can't go on there.
Let's see if I can do it right now.
Very frustrating.
Okay, so then if you uncheck that, you're going to have to...
Any injured player can go in.
You're going to have to look at your team's...
I made a rule, league. And if anyone puts a non-IR player in their IR spot, their entire season is forfeit. I'm not messing around. No shenanigans like this.
Okay, that's a little
My league
harsh.
Always has people trying to get around the rules.
Okay, well...
So you're going to freeze them out of their league?
100%. I've warned them already. I am not putting up with any BS this season.
He's unplugging them all.
I'm calling Igor Melo out.
Wow.
He's always trying something.
Really? Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Always trying.
Mellow out. Yeah, that'll be his new team name. All right, listen. So just keep that in mind. If you're in a CBS league and you turn that setting off, that only players are on IR can go in an IR spot, that means anybody can be in an IR spot, and you have to police your league. You have to be on the honor system here. You have to always keep an eye on it, make sure people aren't taking advantage of that. Sometimes people don't even realize they do it. They don't do it on purpose. They might have a player come off IR, and they forget to bring him off.
Yeah, I'll give you a perfect example of that, Adam, because Heath is the commissioner of our Dynasty League, and he's been trying to police everybody. And I had Ryan Tannehill on the IR spot because he's on the COVID list, and now he's off, and now I have to make an ad drop before this week. So I have to adjust my lineup. But I'm aware of it, but I think people should need to be aware. It is funny, though, with the league that we were talking about with Dave. because I went and looked. I'm like, oh, is nobody allowed to be on IR? Like, did Dave not have IR spots? And so I looked at the roster grid, and the first player I saw that had somebody with an I next to it was Dave's roster. And I was like, what the hell?
Cheater. The cheater. All right. Oh, well, mystery solved. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're giving out our superlatives for 2021, and we're reading yours as well. We'll be right back. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Let's start with the fantasy rookie of the year. Can I take Najee Harris out of that? Can we?
Yeah.
All right. Other than Najee Harris, Chris, I'm going to talk very slowly to help like your internet get ready for this. Who is your rookie of the year?
I think it's got to be Ja'Marr Chase if it's not Najee Harris. I know training camp and preseason didn't quite go as we hoped it would, but he's still, you know, I think the most talented pass catcher in this class. I think he's still, you know, given that none of the other running backs are slated for a huge role in week one, I think Ja'Marr Chase is the guy who has the best potential for that. You know, Odell Beckham, Justin Jefferson, gigantic rookie season, even if like those two guys, you might have to wait a little while for it.
Okay, Jamie.
Well, first, if any of those quarterbacks hit, it's going to be a runaway, you know, out of Lawrence, Fields, mm-hmm. or Lance, because they can have a Justin Herbert type season. But I'm going to go Kyle Pitts, because if he hits at the tight end position, being the position that it is, I mean, that's going to be a huge difference maker for fantasy managers. Like Chris said, you know, if he has that unicorn type of season, he has that breakout season that we're all hoping to see. You know, I know I've been down on Pitts based on his price tag on draft day, but my gosh, if you knew what you were getting and he ends up being that type of player, you'd be drafting him in the second round in the same conversation with Waller and Kittle. So, I think, you know, Pitts, if he hits, is going to be the fantasy rookie of the year, probably the NFL rookie of the year. It could just be, you know, a record-breaking performance for what he's capable of doing.
Kyle hits. Dave?
Just to be different, I'll say DeVonta Smith. Taking the Heisman Trophy winner, taking the Biletnikoff Award winner, taking the best receiver in college football last year, who's on a team in Philadelphia that is probably going to end up throwing the ball a decent amount. He should be their top target getter. We saw Joe. I agree with the Chase call. I think Ja'Marr Chase could be it. And I agree also, like, Trevor Lawrence is probably going to be the actual rookie of the year. And if he's good for fantasy, then yeah, he'll probably be up there as rookie of the year for fantasy. But man, DeVonta Smith could be one of those excellent picks that people are taking in round 7 or 8. They're not necessarily going to start him to begin the year, although I do like the matchup against Atlanta. And he ends up evolving into a number two receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about this class and the opportunities that they have. You know, Waddle could be the number one receiver in Miami by a runaway. Javonte Williams could be the best running back in Denver. It could be awesome. You know, obviously excluding Najee Harris. You know, it'd be nice to see Trey Sermon and Michael Carter be the lead rushers in their teams too. There's a lot of opportunities for this class to be successful.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so many of those guys are being drafted within 4 or 5 rounds of each other, right? I mean, Pitts, Javonte Williams, Ja'Marr Chase, DeVonta Smith.
And that's not even
Jalen Waddle
talking about
after that.
The rookie wide receivers going late in fantasy drafts who all have, like, Terrace Marshall's got a big role, Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore, these guys who we all, you know, expect will be big parts of their offenses. And it's a very talented receiving class, especially.
Yep.
the receiver rankings could really look a lot different in a couple of years with the talent in the 2020 and 2021 drafts.
Yeah.
Hopefully we got a bunch of breakouts there. All right, fantasy comeback player of the year. Dave, you can start. Fantasy comeback player of the year.
Can it be anybody else other than Dak Prescott?
Yeah.
Yeah, McCaffrey.
Yeah, McCaffrey.
Yeah, okay, fine. There's two. McCaffrey would probably be the better one. But I'd look at Dak Prescott, and I think he's got a golden opportunity to keep doing what he did last year. Maybe not to the same type of volume, but certainly putting up plenty of fantasy points for people.
Any other suggestions, guys?
I hope it's Saquon. I mean, look, we're expecting McCaffrey to be awesome. Dak, we're expecting to be awesome. Barkley's the one that everybody's freaking out about, understandably so.
McCaffrey almost feels like he doesn't count because he was so good when we did actually see him that what's that?
It's funny you mentioned that because I spoke to him on Friday. He was on HQ. Mm-hmm. And coming out of the conversation, we showed the odds on William Hill and the Caesar Sportsbook of comeback player of the year. And so Dak, I think, is the odds on favorite. This is NFL comeback player of the year. Yeah. And McCaffrey and Barkley, I think we're pretty close. I know McCaffrey was plus 750. But yeah, it does feel like he's just, you know, walking back into this magical situation because we've been drafting him first overall from a fantasy perspective. But it's not going to be easy, you know, for him just to all of a sudden recreate exactly what he was. We're hoping for it. We're expecting it. But it's not, you know, anything easy. But Barkley's coming off just such a much tougher injury, you know. Yeah. And so the hope is that, you know, he's by the middle to the end of the season, the old Saquon Barkley, and then we're all going to be sitting here going, remember when we should have drafted him in the first round?
By week three. I hope it doesn't take that long.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm talking about like, you know, peak 2018 and 2019, that guy. Like, if he's that guy again, that'd be great.
Yeah. I don't know if you can win comeback player of the year just from being horrible the previous season, but Ben Roethlisberger is a dark. I don't know if there are any odds for him, but he could come back from being quarterback.
Carson Wentz.
Wentz could be a good one.
Yeah.
Hey, would you guys be interested in hearing how the first round of a draft that I'm in right now went? Because there's somebody missing who didn't get picked that
might. Wait, I'm going to guess.
Make your eyes pop.
Zeke.
McCaffrey first.
Wait, what's the scoring in
full PPR plus a quarter point per first down. Cook is second. Kamara third, Zeke fourth, Devontae Adams fifth, Henry sixth, Aaron Jones seventh. Aaron Jones went seventh. Eckler eighth, Jonathan Taylor ninth,
Kelsey.
Chubb 10th.
So Adams, Devontae Adams.
Kelsey, no he went fifth. Adams was taken.
Saquon Barkley 11th, Tyreek Hill 12th.
Kelsey.
No Travis Kelsey in the first round. And you do have to start a tight end.
Who did you take over Kelsey?
I took Taylor.
Oh. That's
nice. I like, no, it's not. Jonathan Taylor's going to be awesome.
He's not going to be better than Kelsey.
I'll find a tight end later. Look, if this whole league is going to treat tight ends this way, I'm going to get a great tight end in round three.
Should have gotten a great tight end in round two.
Should have gotten one in round one.
My brother was doing a draft full PPR, and he got Kittle in round four. In fact, he called me, and he has third round pick, and I'm like, all right, tell me who's available. I was like, oh, take this guy. And I go, well, you know what? I should have asked you about the tight ends. He's like, George Kittle. I'm like, oh! We better not miss them in round four. Luckily, it came back to round four.
How about tonight? I help my 12-year-old cousin draft his team against his friends tonight? And
that seems unfair.
We get to the third round, and he's like, I mean, I was just giving him, you know, names. And he, so his first, Dalvin Cook falls to five. He gets, I told him to take Waller in round two. And then he gets to round three, and he's telling me the receivers. I'm like, God, it's crazy, all these receivers off the board. We didn't get to like the fifth round until we realized he told me it was a 14 team league.
That helped. That's good to know.
Yeah, but he did a good job.
All right. Fantasy biggest bust. Biggest bust.
I mean, this is where I would put Saquon. I think he's absolutely a candidate to be a huge bust.
I'm
this
not
year.
Asking for candidates, baby. I'm asking for who's going to be the biggest
round
bust.
Two, though. That's a big bust for him.
Well, if he doesn't, if he gives you,
but you were saying last week you're taking him 15th or 18th overall.
Yeah, so even at that point, if he doesn't deliver 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns, something like that, I think you'll be a little disappointed.
But then why would you take him in that spot?
In the second round?
Yeah.
I would take him in the second round, but I would still be a little disappointed if that's all he gave me. If it was a year kind of like, I don't know, who had 1,207 last year? I can't even remember off the top of my head. It seems like it was 4 years ago. But like he gets banged up and the Giants stink and it's just like a slog of a year. where he's got like five or six good games and everybody just kind of looks at him and goes, oh, he wasn't even worth a second round pick. And the end of the year totals are what I'm saying. 17 games, seven touchdowns, and he just doesn't deliver.
Yeah.
Okay. Chris, biggest bust.
I hate to say it because I'm such a fan of the player, but Miles Sanders, if the pass catching doesn't come back, I think the floor could fall out for him. I wrote about that in Friday's FFT newsletter. I think there's a real chance he's just loses a significant amount of value between this year and next year. And we're not talking about him as even a top 75 pick.
I offered George Maselli in our 2QB league. I offered him straight up my Josh Jacobs or his Miles Sanders. He turned it down. He then countered Miles Sanders and Cam Newton. Thanks, George. for Josh Jacobs and Jameis Winston, and
but you obviously insulted him.
I mean, you remember I made that pick when I was doing a podcast, and I was like regretting immediately not taking Miles Sanders. But as I said on the mailbag show, I'm tired of this Miles slanders. People are slandering his name. He is going to surprise people.
I hope so.
He doesn't have to do
really
much.
He's a really talented player, but it just, I don't know. It seems like he's got the yips.
Even if he doesn't catch the ball, like that doesn't really make him any different than Josh Jacobs. So I think if you get him in round five, you know.
Round five is perfect.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
I've been, you know, very much anti-Miles Sanders, but like I took him in a draft last weekend as my third running back. Like that's perfect. Like, you know, you get him as a second guy if you go heavy receiver, you know, to start your team. You know, if he falls to round five still. I think people still a little bit enamored with the name, even round four. I mean, look, it's all about cost. Anytime you get a player that's falling to the right price, it's just perfect.
Okay. Who's the biggest bust for you, Jamie?
You know, I'm not going to look at the ADP because I think that's, you know, unfair for the way our site does ADP, but Aaron Rodgers is still the fifth quarterback off the board. And that just makes me a little bit, you know, nerve wracking because I think we're going to see some regression to whatever extent. And if he's back to what he was prior to 2020, he was still a very good quarterback, but he's going still ahead of Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott. And I just can't understand that. You know, again, I don't know what the scope is because it's always hard to gauge quarterbacks when we look at ADP because, you know, especially ours when it factors in two quarterback and super flex. But if you tell me that this is realistically happening, that Aaron Rodgers is going ahead of Dak Prescott and Kyler Murray, ahead of Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson, I can't buy it.
I'm not sure if you guys read the article I sent you about the rules changes this year.
I skimmed it, but I didn't read the whole thing. Sorry.
Some interesting stuff. First of all, it was an ESPN article. It was a Q&A with John Perry, I think. One of the former officials who was like did replay stuff. And basically, there's a rule I wasn't aware of that you cannot block low. Offensive players cannot block low outside of the tight end box. So
yeah, for screen passes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yep. Think about it. So the lineman can't take out a defensive back low or anything like that. But the official actually said this is an advantage to the offense because the defensive back also cannot go low. So he thinks this will help outside run games and screen passes, or specifically to the outside run games. But the other thing that I saw was that they are probably going to call more holding this year, offensive holding. And, you know, we had such inflated passing numbers last year. And I think a lot of that was because we had so few offensive holding calls. If that goes up, the mobile quarterbacks could have an even bigger edge against the pocket passers because passing numbers are going to come down. So it's just something to keep in mind when you start taking Aaron Rodgers over Dak. Not so much. I mean, Dak's not a huge rusher, but I mean, compared to Rodgers, he's probably 200 more rushing yards. So it's something to keep in mind. We'll see how it plays out. Shouldn't expect as many points as we had last year. Most points in a season in NFL history. Obviously 17 games will change that, but per game, we have some tweets. Let's see. Let me get on Twitter. I asked everybody for your fantasy superlatives, those four categories, which were MVP. And I think a lot of people said McCaffrey, by the way, for that. And I don't blame them. MVP, Rookie of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, and Biggest Bust. Okay, All Dade says Derrick Henry MVP, Kyle Pitts Rookie, Comeback Player of the Year, Gaskin. I don't know that I get that one.
Yeah, that's a little...
I mean, he missed six games, so I guess.
Okay, and maybe he's coming back from preseason week two.
Yeah, coming back from being buried in week one.
Preseason week one, yeah. And Saquon Barkley, Biggest Bust. Interesting.
See?
Let's see who shows up a lot.
Oh, he could definitely be the biggest bust, but you were saying take him around two, in the middle of round two.
So what's wrong with that? He can still be a big bust when you take him in the middle of round two.
But you're telling people to take him there, though.
Well, everybody else is saying to take him in late round one, including you.
I'm not calling him a bust, though. You're telling people still to take him in the middle of round two, and you're calling him a bust. I don't get that.
I put him so far in my rankings where I think I'm never getting him.
Oh, then because say I think that.
In every league, someone will take him before then.
Right. Okay. Vincenzo, fantasy MVP, Devontae Adams, rookie of the year, Elijah Moore.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, Zach Wilson not getting enough respect. Nobody cares about him. Fantasy comeback player of the year, Jameis Winston. That's not a bad call.
That's a great call.
Yeah.
Biggest bust, DeAndre Swift.
I mean, McCaffrey is the call for fantasy comeback player of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. But, you know, people want to be original. Jameis is a good original pick.
Well, that's why
Saquon could also fit into that, by the way.
It's probably just that a lot of people just don't even think about Christian McCaffrey for this one. Because it wasn't like a serious season-ending type injury. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't surgery. It wasn't anything like that. It was just kind of
too poorly timed. Is McCaffrey going to play this week? Is McCaffrey going to play this week? It was annoying. That's what it was. Fantasy biggest bust, DeAndre Swift. And I don't know. At some point, I don't know if this happened to you guys. At some point, I was like, you know what? He's on the Lions. I don't know. How great could he be?
Yeah. You just realize this now?
No, because I see every year there is a player who I like DeAndre Swift. If he falls to me in round four, I have one more draft. If he falls to me in round four, I am all over it. But every year there's at least one running back who's on a terrible offense that finishes as a top 12 running back in PPR. The only thing you need to do is be involved in the passing game. And I guess I would say have a heavy workload with involvement in the passing game. It's not going to typically be like Giovanni Bernard, James White. So he fits that. But God, they're such a mess. And they're really going to use Jamal Williams enough? I don't know. I'm not sure he can get the work, and the touchdowns scare me, even though he had a lot of them last year. But I don't know why I'm saying all this, because I really like Swift, but
I think there's risk with both Swift and Hockenson disappointing in that offense. But I think they're both going to be so involved that like the floor is not going to drop out. Obviously with Swift, the injury could change that if the groin injury just lingers, but like, I think he's going to get so many touches and so much passing game work that no matter what happens, even if he's not great, he's going to be pretty good. And I think the same is true of Hockenson, even if that offense is a disaster. I think where I worry for both of them is just, can they hit the upside in that offense? That's my concern. Yeah. Not so much that the bottom is going to fall out.
That's a very good way of saying it. All right, let's see. From bada bing, bada boom, MVP is McCaffrey. Rookie of the year is Fields. Comeback player is Saquon. And here's a fun one. Biggest bust is Antonio Gibson.
I can see it.
That's not fun.
I can see it if the passing game's not there. Like if he's still only playing like 10-15% of their third down snaps, I could definitely see it. I hope not. I'm not expecting it, but it's within the realm of possibility.
They gave you a good little blueprint though about what they're going to do first and second down with him. So
yeah, he is going to get. Yeah,
I mean,
he
still had five targets on first and second down in like 30 something snaps. So there was still a pretty healthy usage.
Okay, let's see. From Mendel, MVP DeAndre Swift / James Robinson. Who do you guys like better?
Robinson. But I don't think either one of them will be the fantasy MVP.
It would take a lot.
Rookie of the year, Kyle Pitts.
Robinson was the MVP last year.
It's true. Rookie of the year, Kyle Pitts. Comeback player of the year, Carson Wentz. What a tough scenario for him. Loses T.Y. Hilton. Has basically no preseason.
No left tackle.
No left tackle. I don't know when Eric Fisher will be back, but for now, no left tackle. And it's valuable time not practicing. First the foot, then COVID. Tough spot for Carson Wentz. Biggest bust, George Kittle will finish top 7, but not top 3.
You called that too.
I feel like Trey Lance is a long way from playing, from starting. But I also feel like him just being on the field and being in the mix is also not good for Kittle.
But yeah, I think it's bad for all the pass catchers there. Because anytime you see two quarterbacks taking over, like usually that leads to more running. How often do you see two quarterbacks work in tandem? First of all, you rarely see it. And then when you do, One of them is usually a good rusher, and this is already a team that doesn't throw the ball that much. So,
especially the Gators, where they both run.
For sure. And that would be terrible for Ayuk. When this looked like it was happening and I started to process it, I moved Ayuk down. And Kittle to me is like a late round three pick now.
Yeah, the thing for me is just anytime we've seen Kittle on the floor, no matter what, or on the field, no matter what permutation of other pass catchers, quarterbacks, whatever, he's always been a target hog. You know, even when Ayuk played last season, the 16-game pace when him and Kittle shared the field was like Kittle getting like 40 more targets over 16 games or something like that. So
for every him to be the number seven tight end, it's going to have to be Hockenson and Andrews and Pitts all hitting.
Yeah.
And somebody else, obviously Logan Thomas or Fant or whoever you might want to say, or the fluke like we saw last year with Tonyan or Logan Thomas. You know, somebody's going to have to push him down without him getting hurt. I mean, obviously if he gets hurt, then it's a different story.
Yeah. I'll read one more. From, all right, from something Philly. Conchi Philly, I don't know. Christian McCaffrey, MVP. Javonte Williams, Rookie of the Year. Jameis, Comeback Player of the Year. And Ezekiel Elliott, biggest bust.
I mean, the news this weekend didn't help. You know, I mean, he starts off on a bad foot and people are going to get panicked. But, you know, it's hard not to see what the upside is with him.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see what he looks like this year because I think he knows he did not run well enough last season. And it's really been 2 years in a row where the explosive plays are basically gone. So is he a guy who's just had so much work that we're starting to see him slow down? You know, because he had a ton of work. This is what, his sixth year? He's had so much work so far in his career. And, he slimmed down. He's one of the biggest storylines for me. I have a lot of Zeke, actually, or maybe three or four teams. And I want to see what he looks like. I want to see how he runs this year.
I want to see Zach Martin on the field for as many games as possible.
Yeah, look, Martin's probably going to miss one
game.
We're
0-for-1 on that.
Yep.
So,
there is a game to miss, because he's probably going to struggle against the Bucs anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, let him go out and catch 6 or 7 passes. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're hoping on him, even if he's not a great rusher per carry, he's going to catch a lot of passes. That's what you're hoping for. Mm-hmm. And this is his sixth year, and he has
the amazing thing with his workload. The amazing thing with his workload and how long he's been in the NFL is he's only 2.5 years older than Najee Harris.
Yeah, but he does have a heavy workload.
Oh yeah, no, and workload might be, as if not more important when you're talking about when a running back might fall off in age.
And you want to make a nice wager. His over under on rushing yards is 1100.5. Wow. I think he shatters that.
Yeah, take the over on that.
He was on pace. Just to give you the last year's numbers, he was on pace over 17 games in the 5 he played with Dak to go for over 1,200. And this is still a two-time rushing champion.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, look who the third quarterback off the board was in this draft that I'm in.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
See that? I don't get it. I don't get it.
38th overall.
Okay, from Mark.
I stand by my bus call.
Where's Mark from?
Omaha, Nebraska.
Dear Billy, Dick, Chavez, and Doc.
Those are holidays, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Billy Holiday, Doc Holiday.
Dick Holiday.
Dick Holiday's a thing. I don't know what Chavez Holiday is, but that's my guess.
Okay. Tight end premium league, deep dynasty. We have three taxi squad spots. Which of these three players would you place on your taxi squad? I have Kyle Pitts. So, Albert O, James Washington, Amari Rodgers, Juwan Johnson, Anthony Firkser, OJ Howard, Larry Roundtree.
I think Firkser is the first name that I would put.
Not a tight end premium. I keep him active. Albert O is easy.
He's up there, but I think Firkser gets more work than Albert O.
Right. So, you don't want to put him on your taxi squad, you want to keep him active.
Well, did he say how the taxi squad worked?
No.
I'm assuming these guys are on his roster, right?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know. Yeah, kind of. Because he said, who would you place on taxi squad?
Right. So I'd want to have the opportunity to use Firkser. I'm never playing Albert O unless Noah Fant gets hurt and all of a sudden the tight end position for Denver changes dramatically and they start leaning on him.
I think Dave would agree with that. You'd rather start Firkser. So don't put Firkser. Okay, so Albert O, James Washington you can put on your taxi squad, right?
Yep.
And then it's Amari Rodgers, Juwan Johnson, O.J. Howard, or Larry Roundtree.
I mean, it comes down to, I mean, Amari Rodgers, what's he going to do when everybody's healthy?
Return punts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Craig from the home of Larry Holmes. I don't know.
Hollywood, California.
Sure. I have the eighth pick in a 10-team non-PPR league. My thoughts are Chubb and Najee, or some combo of two running backs. Or should I go a receiver like Diggs or another top five guy? What would you do with the eighth pick in a 10-team non-PPR league?
Chubb would be fantastic.
What are you going, like running back, receiver? Remember, non-PPR.
Non-PPR, I'd love to go running back.
Yeah, 10-team non-PPR, I think running back.
From Revon, who, I was going to sing Levon, but I don't think I should.
Please don't sing.
Yeah, I won't. Who to start week one at running back?
Oh, pick. He wants to sing.
Go get your cat. Go get your guitar. All right, who to start at week one?
Shave a J in your chest.
Pick two running backs. Javonte Williams, Trey Sermon, Devin Singletary, Giovanni Bernard, Kenyon Drake, or Wayne Gallman.
What's the question?
Who just pick two running backs to start?
And I have to pick two of those.
Yeah, Javonte Williams, Trey Sermon, Singletary, Gio, Drake, and Gallman.
Sermon.
I'm taking the rookies.
Yeah, I think Williams and Sermon.
That's how I have it ranked. First time I've said that for a regular season question. Woo!
My gosh. If Javonte Williams has like four catches in week one, I'm going to win all my leagues. It's going to be like, oh my God, he's the passing downs guy. It's going to be great.
Well, if Melvin Gordon has four catches in week one,
I'm going to lose all my leagues. Okay, good stuff, guys. Thank you for a very entertaining show. We are looking forward to getting week one underway, so we'll keep telling you some of our favorite stashes. We'll give you some potential buy lows. Yeah, even now, just players that you can look to trade, sell highs, those types of things. We are going to preview Thursday. We always preview Thursday Night Football on Wednesday. Then our Thursday show is the AFC home games. Our Friday show is the NFC home games. We also have a lot of live streams for you. We have a Tuesday night, a Thursday afternoon, and a Sunday morning live stream on our YouTube channel. Giving all those details out later in the week. Thanks a lot to Jamie, Dave, and Chris. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Tuesday.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.